Turn in your Bibles this morning. We're in the book of James. We've been going through the book of James together. James, the third chapter. James chapter 3. James, the third chapter. When you're there, you're smiling at me. Everybody's got their little handy dandy Bibles. Probably have the verse up on the screen, but it's good to have something in your hand as well so you can mark it all up and make it personal. James chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles." Father, I ask that you bless your word this morning, Lord, and make it personal to us today, Father. We desire with all of our hearts to honor you. We desire with all of our hearts to live a Christian life that you've asked us to live, setting an example to those around us. May we as your children, Father, learn when to be quiet, when to speak, and to hold our peace until you tell us to do so. Father, we thank you for your word. Make it real to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. If I fall asleep this morning, somebody throws something at me. I didn't get much sleep last night. My grandkids are in town. I found that I am the personal caddy and servant to my granddaughter, Gabby. I had to hold her breakfast this morning while she ate. So we're sitting on the couch, and she got $2 out of me already. So I'm $2 poorer. And I went for a run when I got home with the kids. We went a little piece to get them, and so I came back and lost 2 games to my grandson, basketball. And so I had cramps all night. And so didn't sleep very well. But glad to have them. And I just let him win the 2 games. I just want him to know publicly that I'm going to beat him when I get rested in a week or so. Book of James is a very challenging, and it could be a negative thing sometimes when we read God's Word. That's why books like James and Romans and others are very seldom read in a way that can teach us things. We tend to stay away from things that challenge us. So I feel like it was the Holy Spirit's intent that we go through James. And one of the hardest passages of Scriptures is this passage right here, because all of us know this smallest member, one of the smallest members of our body, gets us in a whole lot of trouble. How many have stepped on your tongue at least once? Not everybody's raising their hand. To those that did not raise your hand, could you please come and speak to me after the service today? I think that all of us have probably said something that we're desirous that we could get back. The tongue tends to speak very quickly things that we'd rather not speak. And sometimes we feel comfortable being able to speak. I talk to myself a lot in the car. I don't know if you're like me, but when I'm driving by myself, I talk to myself. Anybody do that when you're alone? And sometimes you say things that you feel comfortable in saying since nobody else is around listening. Well, I got news for you. God is always listening. And He'll remind us of those things. Maybe even if we're listening, maybe even chastise us for saying such things. I can't believe that person was like they were. I can't believe that person talks like they do or dresses like they do. Or whatever we say. And God tells us that we are to guard our tongues through the book of James. We're to take authority. And he lays out a pretty good argument here. And he starts with this word about teachers in verse 1. And we often read it saying, well, we don't want to be teachers of the word. It's not talking about teachers in the fivefold ministry sense. It's talking about teachers when we think we know something and we begin to speak it like we're teaching somebody else. How many know all of us are on a journey? And if we become masters of anything, we become masters of repentance and asking God to give us victory. Amen? Very few of us can say, hey, we've learned to guard our tongues. We always speak perfectly. And he starts out by saying, teachers, didaikloos, meaning masters or teachers. James calls attention to the fact that when we speak, sometimes great words, swelling words, we claim to be teachers, but in fact have not learned to train our own tongue. It is more a call to holiness than a reference to a ministry gift. Let not many of us become teachers, because we kind of act like we got it all together. We become pretty good at that, some of us. So he talks about the tongue. The tongue has thousands of taste buds, helps to digest food. The first step in the digestive process is our tongue. I found out some things about the tongue. The tongue cleans our teeth after eating. Contains a large muscle and is anchored to a bone. Gets us into a lot of trouble. Thank God for taste buds. But we swallow a whole lot of things we don't taste. See? The tongue is the first in digestion and the last in the thinking process. We digest things. Thoughts that pass muster are allowed to formulate words that establish, plant, tear up, tear down, accuse, slander, exalt, and bless. It's the first in our digestion, and it's the last in our speech. That's why the Word of God tells us to take every thought into captivity so it doesn't come out here. That's where God wants us to put it, in the graveyard of our thoughts that never become words. That's a good thing. Once they become words, they're very difficult to take back. He says in verse 2, for we all stumble in many things. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you. He's not talking to me, he's talking to you. We all stumble in many things. Yeah, I know, everybody stumbles. I don't stumble. Yes, we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. So this is the goal that James is talking about. He kind of lays the gauntlet out. He's going to make a very good argument here in the next several verses. But he's saying to us that if we can control the tongue, we're able to control the whole body. And he's going to throw some water on that fire in just a little bit, because he says no one can tame the tongue. If we're able to contain the tongue, we're able to make it do what we want it to do, we'll be heroes, man. We'll take the whole thing, see? We're able to bridle the whole body. We'll reach nirvana. We'll reach perfection. How many would like that? Never to say anything wrong again the rest of your life. How many would love that? Whoa. That's a goal. That's a goal, my friend. Sadly, not many people have ever realized that goal. I've never met anybody that has. Truth is, none of us is above the potential to sin. We can slip into a situation where we sin against the perfect Word of God because we engage our mouth before our brain. No sin is as easy to commit than that of the tongue. And Jesus speaks to it in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. He says, I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Some trials will last longer than others because of the words that we speak. For by your words, he says in verse 37, listen, he says, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, I did a lot of study on this, and I thought maybe that they meant by your works. You know, just change the D to a K. by your works, because we do all do good things. Come on. And we think that that's going to do well. It does. That goes to our account. But Jesus didn't say works. He said words. By your words, you'll be justified. And by your words, you'll be condemned. We can do a million good deeds and destroy it all by our tongue. Are you there this morning? The significance of speaking what God tells us to cannot be lessened. Every idle word not escapes the purview of the Lord. He's looking at it. He's watching it. He's listening for it. No matter the intent of the heart, what comes out of our mouth will be where the judgment lies. And so we're challenged with this thing. We get so involved in everybody's life. We get so involved in what's going on all around us when we could spend a large amount of the day working on this and working on this. Several scriptures I'll share with you this morning if you're taking notes. Proverbs 15:1, Proverbs chapter 15. In fact, turn there if you can. Proverbs 15. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So the challenge, according to the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon, is to watch what we say. The power of the spoken word has set the course for whole nations and toppled kingdoms. No matter what the situation, it is a wise person that holds their tongue. Sometimes the best words to ever speak are none. I think if we'd practice silence a lot more in this nation, we may be a lot more victorious than we are. We champion freedom of speech, and I get that. I want to defend your right to speak, but I want to pray that when you speak some wisdom. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Control the tongue, and we display the kingdom of God. Discipline has been lost in today's world. We don't know the word discipline. We have freedom of speech so that we can say anything we want and are backed by law to be able to say it. The protests that are going all over the nation, people are saying some injurious things about folks just because they wear a certain uniform or do a certain duty. And we're seeing that across the board. We've lost discipline in prayer. We've lost discipline in study and relationships. Even our health. We know the right foods to eat. We know the right things to do. We don't do it. We know the right thing to do. We've been educated by the Holy Spirit. Yet we decide that the freedom of an American citizen takes precedent over the child of the kingdom. Yes, I'm free to say anything in this nation that I want. Freedom of speech should be, and I thank God for it, but we've taken it to the nth degree. Come on, somebody. We speak our mind when we should be quiet. There are things that we should never utter openly that we should take care of in the prayer closet. King David knew that very well. If you study the life of David, man, if you read some of the prayers that he prayed to the Father, he prayed, he said, take my enemies and destroy them. May their tongue cleave to the roof of their mouth. May their eyeballs melt out of their head. He's praying some pretty difficult things. When we read that and say, that's pretty harsh. But we're getting a glimpse into something that's very quiet between David and the Lord. Publicly, David says, don't touch God's anointed. After Saul tried to kill David, David said, O king, live forever. Was he being hypocritical? Absolutely not. He understood that the power of the spoken word can change history. And we need to be very careful the words that come out of our mouth. Paul says this, addresses it in his letter to the Corinthians. In a chaotic atmosphere that the church had, they were growing so fast. and they were conducting their meetings in a wild, untethered way. And he says in the midst of this, and he speaks to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, he says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." And Paul says, I'm free to do anything I want, but I'm restrained. I can't do anything I want to do. Later in chapter 10 and verse 23, he says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful." Again, the same thing he said, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own," verse 24, "but each one the other's well-being." In other words, there are times when I should close my teeth and not allow my tongue to take over. We would go a lot further if we'd bite our tongue more than let it flap. And this is the thing that James is addressing, because he realizes the problem is personified and it's extended and it's exaggerated because of our undisciplined tongue. And it gives three examples of the power of the tongue. Number one, in verse 3, he says, "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body." So I did a little study. There's some more educated than me that could speak to this, but there's a gap between the front and back teeth of a horse. It's called the bars. This area is alive with nerve endings, and they lay the bit across there. It doesn't hurt the horse if it's done correctly, but it guides the whole horse. That little bit, about this big, guides a huge horse wherever it goes. This area is alive with nerve endings. And our tongue has a brain of its own. How many know we got a couple brains? One brain is in our tongue. We think we know something, so we just blurt it out. We think we are judge of something, so we blurt it out. With the tongue, we condemn people. With the tongue, we bless people. And right between the two teeth in a horse's mouth is that, it's called the bars, and I think we have two sets of teeth in our lives. There are teeth we use to digest information from the world, and then there are teeth that we use to digest what we receive from the Spirit of God, and we oftentimes speak the things from the world that we know instead of listening for the Spirit. God wants to discipline us with the bit of His presence so that we will follow His leading. You know that little check that you get just before you tell somebody off? "Well, I'll tell you a thing or two," and you get this little twitch. How many are thankful for the times you listen to the twitch? But too often we go past the twitch, and then we pay with the switch. Then God's got to use His switch on us. God would much rather deal with the twitch than the switch. That little conviction in our spirit that says, "Don't say that." Or more importantly, in these modern times, especially for these young people, typing it. We say things that are injurious. We promote things that are injurious. And the Word of God tells us that we ought not to do that. Washington Irving said, "A sharp tongue is the only edged tool that grows sharper with constant use." Someone said, "By examining the tongue of a patient, physicians find out the diseases of the body, and philosophers, the diseases of the mind." Someone else said, "The most ferocious monster in the world has his den just behind the teeth." The second example that is used is the rudder on a ship. Says, look at also at ships in verse 3, "Although they are large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. The flow of water is directed by the rudder so that ships follow a desired course." It's amazing to me the size of those things and the size of the ship that it's guiding. And the flow of knowledge is directed by our words that dictate the direction of our relationships, standing in the community and our position in God. It's how we direct our words that will make a path for us. It almost feels good to get things off our chest. How many are with me? Sometimes it feels like there's a pressure and you speak it and it feels a relief. It's a relief to go ahead and speak what you're thinking. And I'm not saying that that's not okay in certain situations. And neither is James. But what James is saying is that we speak the tongue, directs things where we don't want to go. Ends up breaking marriages, ends up breaking partnerships, ends up breaking governments, nations, even begins wars. We have a responsibility to put a guard on our lips. That's our responsibility. Turn to Psalm chapter 17. Psalms, the book of Psalm, chapter 17. So it's incumbent upon us as Christians, because what cannot be tamed by us can be tamed by God. How many believe that God can tame our tongue? Nothing impossible for Him. But He's not going to do it without our help and assistance. We're not robots. God is not going to put the switch in us, the little off and on switch. He's going to teach us. Psalm 17 verse 3 says, "You have tested my heart, you have visited me in the night, you have tried me and have found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer." So often when we want to speak what we want to speak, if we'll just place in our mouths the word of God and speak the word of God over it, because how many know the word of God is creative, the word of God is existent, the word of God plants. A lot of times when we want to tell somebody off, we just need to bless them. That's what Jesus said. He said, "Bless those that curse you." There's a whole lot of cursing going on in this nation, both publicly with our leadership and privately with our society. And we ought not to enter that fray. We ought not to get down on their level. We put a guard on our mouths. Psalm 39 verse 1 says, "I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle." Sometimes just physically putting your hand over your mouth and saying, "I'm not going to say that." Because once we say it, something happens of a creative nature that begins to set things in motion that's very hard to stop once it's said. Every husband and wife knows what I'm talking about. Your husband and wife today, come on. You say things, man, you got to pay for them. 50 years married, a couple was asked, "Well, how have you made it 50 years?" And she said, "Well, you know, when we get in an argument, I just get things off my chest and I just blurt it out." And they turned to him and he said, "Well, when I get angry with her, I take a long walk outside." He said, "I guess I've lived 50 years with her because I've lived largely an outdoor life." Ladies, that's why we have hobbies, gentlemen. That's why we have the men cave. I'm giving some secrets away now. Yeah. "Honey, I'm busy. I'm going to down in my workplace or going out in the garage or out in the shed. I've got to mow the lawn. I've got to do this." That's because we need to get our thoughts together so when we speak, we have that responsibility to put a guard on our lips. James 1:26 says, "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it will eat its fruit." Proverbs 10:19 says, "In a multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise." Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, for those taking notes, listen to what Paul says addressing this. He says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." And oft times we say, "If I don't say anything, how will they ever learn?" Well, allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit does. Allow the Holy Spirit to convict your brother and sister. Allow God to move things. When God moves things, they're moved. When we move things, they tend to move back. And then the third example that James uses is James chapter 3 and verse 5. He says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Wow, you mean this little muscle in my mouth can set fire to things? Most certainly. Most certainly. Every husband knows this. So go back to husband and wife. There's sometimes when you never ask your wife why. Because she's going to drill you. Because, that's why. Picture of a fire is common to the Word of God. You'll get that later. Psalm 83:13 says, oh my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind, as the fire burns the woods and as the flame sets the mountains on fire. Isaiah 9:18 says, for wickedness burns as the fire. It shall devour the briars and thorns and kindle in the thickets of the forest. They shall mount up like rising smoke. Proverbs 16:27 says, an ungodly man digs up evil and it is on his lips like a burning fire. A perverse man sows strife and a whisperer separates the best of friends. The word that we speak can cause great damage that not only offends at the moment, but that can change the course of someone's life. That's why it's so very important that we bless the hearer. We bless the hearer when we correct our children, our grandchildren. We need to tell them things of love, things of God. There's nothing wrong with correction, but correction must be drenched in love. Are you there this morning? We wait till we get exasperated and explode and we don't realize that we've set a fire. The tongue can damage at a distance. We don't need to even be in the same room. We could say something to somebody over the phone or type them something that will absolutely destroy their dreams. Every one of us have had that happen. An old Jewish rabbi saying, says, life and death are in the hand of the tongue. Has the tongue a hand? No. But as the hand kills, so the tongue. The hand kills only at close quarters. The tongue is called an arrow because it kills at a distance. It ranges over the whole earth and reaches to the heavens. Tongue does a lot of damage. Back to James chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, for every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. We are given dominion in the earth and every creature has been subdued. We're the rulers. God said, be fruitful and multiply and take authority over the earth. And we've done so. We've done a very good job at it. But no one, James says, can tame the tongue. This is where we need to yield to the power of God so that the tongue is restrained and we experience the perfection promised. God would never say that if we could control the tongue, we control the whole body and we'd be perfect. He'd never say that to tease us. The Word of God is never a carrot on a stick. It's achievable. And I believe in a generation that acknowledges that and that receives that is a generation that will receive the revival that we've been praying for. We are tempted to get into the fray to speak our mind when we should just shut up and get on our knees and pray. We accuse, we point the finger, and we talk about people, especially in the Christian realm. They're telling us we can't talk anymore. They're trying to take our speech away. It's no wonder. We've told the world, the sinning world, more what we hate than what we love. We hate this sin. We hate that sin. We hate this sin. We haven't told them that we love them, that God loves them and He died for them. We accuse people of things that we shouldn't bother accusing them of. They know they're sinners and the Holy Spirit will do His job. No one can tame the tongue. The tongue is the only instrument in our body that seems to have a mind of its own. Words are more than a way to communicate. They can kill. Many have mastered the small talk and greetings and saved the deadly words for gossip and secret conversations where lives are destroyed and war declared. We can talk about somebody in the quietness when we're alone, or we can have a conversation that we think no one else is going to hear. But what we do, listen very carefully, and we speak those words, we dispatch the enemy to those people. The Word of God says it's noble to cover a sin. Sometimes when we know a sin about somebody, we just need to keep it quiet and cover them over with protection until the Holy Spirit can convict them. Or reach a place where they can honor us enough to be able to speak to help them. And if we'll do that within the body of Christ and quit killing one another, the world's going to look at the church and say, they actually do love one another. I want to be a part of that. The great John Wesley was preaching. He was wearing a new bow tie with two streamers hanging down from it. There's a sister in the meeting that didn't hear a word about Jesus but sat with a long face and saw nothing but those two streamers. And when the service was over, she went up and said, "Pardon me, Mr. Wesley, will you suffer a little criticism?" "Yes," replied Mr. Wesley. "Well," she said, "Mr. Wesley, your bow tie is too long and it is an offense to me." He said, "Have you a pair of shears?" And after receiving the shears, he handed them to her, saying that she would know how they would look, best. She reached over and clipped off the streamers. Then he said, "Is that all right now?" "Yes, that is much better," she said. He said, "Do you mind letting me have those shears? Would you mind a little criticism? Your tongue is a great offense to me. It's a little too long. Please stick it out while I take some off." Controlling the tongue is the essence of sanctification. Because where it's really, we can study, we can pray, we can learn, we can get degrees, we can say that we know it all, but the essence of sanctification is what comes out of this mouth of ours and displays Christianity the way it's supposed to be displayed. Do good to those who spitefully use you. I say not only love your friends, but love your enemies, Jesus tried to tell us over and over again. It's the apex of discipline. Being able to control our tongue is the apex of discipline. We don't say what we want to say, and it's going to be okay. We swallow it. Come on, somebody. We swallow it. Work it out in the prayer closet, or don't work it out at all. It's okay to suffer a little bit. "Oh, don't say that to me, Pastor Rick. You're offending me. I don't want to suffer. I just want to get off. I just got to tell somebody." Get in the prayer closet and talk to God. He's a secret keeper, and He'll take care of it. And He'll discipline you, and nobody else will know it. But when you speak it out your mouth, He'll discipline you and others will know it. Are you there, someone? Either way, we're going to get disciplined and taken care of. It's the medal on the chest of interpersonal relationships. Man, if we started to tell each other the things we don't like about one another, there'd be about three of us in the room today. So we've learned it to a certain degree. Man, we got to carry this out of this room and into our society, because everybody has an opinion. And we've placed people, we've condemned people. We've already sent them to hell, and they're still living and breathing. How many know as long as there's living and breathing, there's hope? As long as somebody's breathing in and out, I said there's hope. No matter how bad they are, no matter where they are, look where you were. Look what you were doing before you came to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many would have even let you in the room if you meant you before you came to Christ? The footsteps of a trusted friend is somebody that's able to keep their peace. Proverbs 17:9 says, "He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends." James 5, James chapter 5 we'll get to in a few weeks. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. The tongue is so set in verse 6. Among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. The great conundrum is the tongue defiles the whole body. We say, well, you know, I do a good job most of the time. 95% of the time I keep my tongue. But it's the 5% that we need to worry about. It sets on fire, the Word of God says, the course of nature. And hell is behind it. The enemy knows that the power of the spoken word is the most powerful thing that we can speak. Once we speak it out of our mouth, it starts to create immediately. That's why a lot of us have problems. You know, when we get a sniffle, we say, man, I'm getting a cold. Might as well pull the blankets back and lay down in the bed. You're going to have a cold. Because we've spoken with our mouth. I can't believe that person said that. They're going to fail. They're condemned. They're condemning themselves. So I can't believe that came out of their mouth. I can't believe that action is what they're doing. And what we're doing is we're dispatching the enemy to them. Instead of correcting them, we think we're correcting them, we're releasing the enemy to them. Instead of covering the sin so that the enemy has no idea. Come on, somebody. The Lord has our hearts and we have the mind of Christ. It's what lies between that can get us into trouble. The Lord has our hearts and we have the mind of Christ. It's this thing that can get us into trouble. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God in verse 9. And verse 10 says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Words mean something. Words carry some responsibility with them. It seems that the redefining of words justifies our actions. In our society right now, in the last several decades, words have changed. The meaning of life doesn't mean what it used to. Now they're trying to argue that a child born with physical infirmities and mental infirmities aren't really alive. Prayer has taken a whole new meaning on. We no longer talk about prayer as conversation with God. A lot of people preach pray, getting their opinions across. Marriage doesn't mean what it used to mean. Marriage is any two people that love each other. I beg to differ. Sex has taken a whole new meaning on. It's just become something that is awkward and left better in the privacy of our own minds sometimes. Family has been re-identified. Any group of people that live together has become a family. How many know the nucleus of society is a man, a wife, and their children? But it's been redefined. See, words mean something. Country has been redefined. Heard our president just the other day say that global economy is not something that we're looking for. It's already taken place. We become a one world community. It's reality. How? Why is it a reality? Because for years they've been speaking it as so. Back to 1991 when it was first uttered by the first president, George H.W. Bush said one world government. And it's taken that long to plant it in the minds of people all over the world till now it's become a reality. We're now a global village instead of being countries and nations and towns. And we live in a society where words have been redefined. Gay doesn't mean gay anymore. Tolerant has taken on a whole new meaning. Faithful doesn't even mean faithful anymore. Opinions have become law and facts have become opinions. So this is very incumbent upon us. It's timely that we're going through this in the book of James, because now more than ever, you and I as Christians, I'm talking to Christians in this room, now more than anything, you and I need to weigh our words before they're spoke. We need to be silent when God says to be quiet. God is working. I believe with all my heart God is working in this nation. Things aren't coming together. People are that have said one thing and they're called to be liars. We've got presidential candidates that are liars now. And the enemy is playing right into the hands of the Lord and the plans of God. I believe that. The enemy is showing all his cards. If we'll just be patient and not speak, we speak things like, oh, we're going to be a communist nation. Things are going to fall apart. The world's going to collapse. Well, listen, even if it does, God is in control. Even if it does, even if everything that we've prophesied with our silliness and our words comes to pass, God is still in control. There's never going to be a time when God says, okay, I've lost control now. You're on your own. God is always going to take care of us. This is eternity that you and I have set up for. See? It's not something that ends when it ends at the door of our flesh. Whenever we die, we're going to be with the Lord. We'll live eternally. Eternity started a long time ago. It's in us now. And we've got to keep that in mind when we speak the things out of our mouth. We set things to fire because we say things we ought not to say and make our opinions known. Our opinions are not that important. We're just not that important. The Word of God stands the test of time. Heaven and earth will pass away. Rick's words will never pass away. Doesn't say that. It says heaven and earth will pass away. My Father's words will never pass away. Come on, somebody. We've got to take care of this thing. We've got to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, help us put a guard on our lips. The psalmist says, God, set a guard on my mouth that I might not speak against you and break your commandments. Set a guard right here. God, help me. Set an alarm. Whatever needs to happen, Lord, that I don't become part of the problem, but I stand for the solution, which is your kingdom come. Your will be done on this earth in this situation as it already is in heaven. We serve a God that's already got it all worked out. He's not surprised. So I encourage you. I want to leave you with a challenge. Whatever situation that you're facing, if you're facing a personal situation or if you've gotten so involved in conversations that have destroyed, or if you've received things from people, let me tell you something. The only opinion that counts about you, and I'm speaking to somebody this morning in closing, the only opinion about you that counts is God's opinion. No matter what somebody has said about you, it doesn't mean a thing to God. God knows your heart. And when we speak about each other, speak kind words. If you see me doing something that you'd rather not have me doing, pray for me. Are you there? And if we'll encourage one another and guard each other and cover each other over with love until the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us. Amen. Heavenly Father, this morning, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that the tongue can be tamed, Father, but only by you. And Father, you've called us to this walk. You've called us to be your children. We want to look like you. We want to reflect you in everything that we think and do and say. But Lord, it's the say that gets us in trouble. So, Father, please, first of all, forgive us for untimely words and ungodly terms that we've used. Please forgive us. God, wash us and cleanse us from all blood guiltiness, O God. Father, we ask that you tear down those things that we began to build with our words. Save those that are blessings to the hearer, God. And Father, we'll be ones that will only speak the things that bless those that are listening. God, and we do pray for those that we know that are sinners, God, that have not yet accepted you. God, would you draw them by your love, by your Holy Spirit? Teach us to say the things that would entice them, would cause them to be jealous because you and I have a relationship. Those that we love, God, would see that relationship and say, I want what you have. And we'll take the judge's robe off, God. We don't want to be the judge of people. We want to love them. Your word is the judge. You're the final opinion that matters, God. Until then, Lord, speak to us. Father, I pray for each one here that, Lord, has had harsh words said to them. Father, I pray for healing in their heart, healing in their minds. God, that they would understand that You are the only one that matters. Your opinion is the only one that matters. We ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.